Welcome to your assistive technology update, a weekly dose of information that keeps you up to date on the latest developments in the field of technology designed to assist individuals with disabilities and special needs. I'm your host, Josh Anderson, with the Indata Project at Easter Seals Crossroads in beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to episode 749 of Assistive Technology Update. It is scheduled to be released on October 3rd, 2025. On today's show, we are super excited to welcome Jeannie Kroll and Audrey Bush from ATAP to the show. They're here to tell us all about ATAP, talk about the ATX, and learn just a little bit more about the amazing work these programs do all across our country. Also want to invite you listeners to our next full-day training here at Indata. Coming up on Wednesday, October 8th, will be assistive technology for individuals with mobility impairments. Some of our partners from Quantum Rehab, Life Lifts, Agribility, and Superior Van and Mobility, along with members of our staff, put on a great all-day training about different assistive technology and accommodations for individuals with challenges with mobility. I'll put a link down in the show notes so that you can sign up for this free training and attend either in person or online, whatever fits best for you. But for now, let's go ahead and get on with the show. We're doing something a little bit different for the next few weeks, listeners. I realize at the beginning of every show, I let you know that I'm from the Indata Project at Easter Seals Crossroads. But how many folks really know what that actually means? Well, we're going to do our best today and over the next couple of shows to explain what is the ATX, the ATX providers, and some of the other workings that make the ATX successful in accomplishing their goals. To start us off, we are super excited to welcome Jeannie Kroll and Audrey Bush to the show. And they're here from the Association of Assistive Technology ACT Programs, or ATAP. They're here to tell us about ATAP, the ATX, and allow us to get to know them a little better and the amazing work that they do. Jeannie, Audrey, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Be here, Josh.
It is great to get to talk to you. And kind of before we get into talking about ATAP, the ATX, and all the fun stuff that we've got you here to talk about, could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourselves?
Sure. Well, this is Jeannie, and I was a speech pathologist for about 10 years in the 90s. And then I joined the North Dakota Assistive Technology ACT program in the year 2000. And served on the board of directors of ATAP, or the Association of Assistive Technology ACT Programs. And eventually, in January, I became the executive director of ATAP.
And this is Audrey Bush, and I was actually formerly the executive director of ATAP and did a little bit of reorganization and took this role for the government relations, which I've actually always had. And I've always worked with ATAP since 2008, actually, whether that was for the association directly or actually externally as a consultant. And prior to that, I worked on Capitol Hill and in higher education and had participated in Teach for America. So I've been a little bit in a variety of areas before I came to ATAP.
So Audrey's been involved before you were involved, and stay involved is kind of the way that I think it kind of goes there. So I guess we should start off with kind of big picture. You know, for our listeners who maybe don't know, what is the Assistive Technology Act or the 21st Century Assistive Technology Act?
So the Assistive Technology Act is a federally funded program. It's a federal piece of legislation that stands alone. It establishes a program that is in every state and territory in the entire United States, and it ensures people obtain access to and are able to acquire assistive technology.
And what's the history of the AT Act?
I think even before that, Josh, we wanted to tell you why AT was so important.
Oh, yeah. That sounds good. Definitely.
And every person on the planet will either need assistive technology for themselves or they will know someone who needs it. But the trick is to build assistive technology awareness so everyone knows about it before they need it and no one goes without. And because the AT Act is really the answer for how consumers gain access to AT in every state, every territory, and every person. And now Audrey is going to tell you the history of this amazing Assistive Technology Act.
Yeah, so the AT Act actually was passed and originated in 1988. Back then, it was actually known as the Technology-Related Assistance Act, or it was better known as the Tech Act.
That's a mouthful.
It actually started It actually started as a grant-funded program. So every state may or may not have had this grant. And if they did have the grant, they may be providing different services. So if you were in Oregon or if you were in South Carolina, it could be a completely different set of access to AT, or you may have access to demonstrations or loans, or you may not. It just depends on what that state would have chosen to select and apply for that grant for. So when the law was reauthorized in 2004, huge changes were made, and the programs were formally established in every state and territory, and they were funded based on a formula, which used a their population of each state, to comprise the amount. And then a required set and list of activities was established in order to create consistency. So if you were in Oregon or in South Carolina, it would be the same set of direct services you would receive to create more equity in the law. And actually, the law was not reauthorized again for another 18 years. So it was in 2022 that Congress picked it up again to review it. And the interesting thing is, if we're going to look at that as it having a silver lining from such a long amount of time between reauthorizations, it actually allowed for everyone in all states and territories to know what worked well in the law and what did not. And the interesting thing about the AT Act is that these large changes that were made in 2004 really worked very well. And so in 2022, there were very minor changes made. And the only changes, in fact, that were added were additions to the law, essentially, that would facilitate the increase in the capacity of the programs, with that being the primary goal of the new reauthorization.
Nice. Thank you. Because that, I think, explained things that I didn't even completely and totally know, which I probably shouldn't tell either of you that. So I know I shouldn't tell either of you that. But Audrey, you kind of brought up that you know, originally things were maybe done a little different state by state, but now there are certain activities that are kind of outlined that all states do, that all of us do. What are some of them?
Yes. Well, first of all, it's good to know that even though we do all do the same things or the same major core activities, we are in different types of organizations. And so there's 14 nonprofit organizations, 21 state agency, and 21 university-based settings. And many programs will do all their own programming, and then some will contract with other nonprofits or other agencies across the state to be more effective and widespread and to help them carry out their activities. And those activities are, the four core ones are device demonstrations, assistive technology device demonstrations, and device loans, device utilization, and state financing. And I'll get into those just a little bit here. In order to figure out what assistive technology you need that can help you, you need to be able to see it and try it. And so all of the states are required to do device demonstrations. And some of them have centers, and they go out and do demonstrations. They do it via video, lots of different ways, all allowing people to touch and feel and see if those devices work for them. And in many cases, they can take those devices home or to their work or school to be able to try to see if it will help them. Really, I mean, there's many devices that we see in a store that we think, oh, this is going to work for me. And then you get it home and you're like, oh, it doesn't. And that's what that that short-term device loan program helps us do is try before you buy. And so it's a real nice money-saving, time-saving avenue and can really help you determine if something is good for you. So once you've tried it and you figured something out that it works, how are you going to get it? And now some people can just buy it, but many can't. And device utilization or device reuse, all of the ATACs are responsible in some way for doing some device utilization, and this could be putting out their own older devices out for loan, or it's helping consumers through website interfaces to be able to sell their devices or give their devices away and so forth. And there's, you know, equipment recycling, all kinds of things. And those reutilized devices can be given to someone and work just as good as a brand new device. And there's many funding programs across the United States that can help, insurance and things like that. But the ATAC programs have many other state financing types of ways to get devices to individuals, such as a low interest guaranteed financial loan programs, or they could be types of grant programs and things like that. There's many different types and so forth. Any questions, Josh?
No, I think you really kind of outlined it really well. And then listeners, just full disclosure, this show is part of the AT Act, as one of the big goals is really get the word out about assistive technology. And while kind of like Jeannie said, everyone does it a little bit differently, but getting the word out is definitely something. And the podcast was just the platform that we've been using for the last 14 years, to really get the word out about it. Mm-hmm. But no, I think you did a great job of really doing it. So in order to do all those great things, you know, kind of how are the ATACs funded?
Yeah, sure. So there is a federal funding stream that is directed to the Assistive Technology Act. It is broken down into three sections in the law that pull from the federal allocation, however. So the AT Act is funded at $38 million. Section 4 are the Assistive Technology Act programs. So AT Act programs receive $31 million of that $38 million. And the way that money is distributed is through a population for each state. And territories simply receive a flat $150,000. So unfortunately, I mean, we've had some increases in the federal amount of money provided to the AT Act, but it has not been an enormous amount. And that is where you see how incredible these state programs are, as they are very skilled in leveraging funding in a variety of ways. So they will apply for grants, and they have various partnerships with vocational rehabilitation or state education agencies or the area agencies on aging. And in fact, the total amount of leveraged funding in FY 2024 was $31 million, which is actually the same amount of funding that the AT Act grantees receive in total from the federal government. So our programs are exceptionally nimble and have really overcome the funding short that we feel from the federal government. And it's pretty amazing.
I'm blushing. No, I think we all are. We're all kind of blushing there. Well, the main reason we have you on, thank you for explaining the ATX, for really getting our listeners kind of up to speed on how they work and everything. But since you're both from ATAP, how does ATAP fit into everything with the ATX?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. Well, ATAP is a nonprofit agency that functions as the advocacy and training and technical assistance program for the nationwide network of Assistive Technology Act programs. And ATAP facilitates the coordination of AT Act programs nationally and provides technical assistance and support to its members. We represent the needs and interests of the programs and serve as the national representative for the AT Act programs. And our vision is that there is an inclusive world where easy access to assistive technology is universal and everyone is supported to thrive in an ever-evolving environment. And in these next few years, we're kind of Audrey and I have decided it's called ATAP 2.0. And we are really going to be building the capacity of ATAC programs to drive innovation that leads to forward thinking and positive change in the world of AT, leading the way with access to assistive technology so people know about it before they need it, and advancing advocacy and influencing policy to support all of the things that we just mentioned, and also to support systemic change in the area of assistive technology, because we do not want to hear anymore that they'd never heard about assistive technology and that they went without for even a minute. And that is one of our very big lofty goals.
That is an amazing goal, because just how amazed people are when they find out about assistive technology. And, you know, if it's somebody with maybe a progressive disability, or maybe who, you know, had an injury or something like that, it's one thing. But if it's someone that's, you know, had a disability their whole life and don't know these tools are there, that can really just open up so many doors and make, you know, working or going to school or living independently and all these things, maybe a little bit easier or possible. It's a little bit heartbreaking. And, you know, I know you probably screamed it from the rooftops like all the rest of us do. So anything you can do to help get that word out and really just make sure that awareness is there, we thank you for it.
You bet.
And one of the things that you do to kind of raise awareness and everything is National AT Awareness Day. Tell us about it.
Oh, well, it's the best day of the year, if you didn't know.
It's my favorite.
Something that everyone needs.
I love that.
And ATAP works. Actually, we founded this day and went to Congress and petitioned their support, and we work with them now. It's been about 6 years that this day has been stood up, and it is usually in April, and we work with Congress to pass a resolution declaring the day National Assistive Technology Awareness Day. We also work with other national organizations and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in order to make that day a prominent day throughout the year, that we are really drawing attention to the importance of assistive technology, how it can be used, how it's funded. And we find it a really important point of this day, too, is to share how individuals can access their Assistive Technology Act programs, because this day is really for anyone, and it's for anyone that has a functional limitation, or even anyone who, as we all know, as we age, everyone will develop a functional limitation of some level. So just getting that word out to folks to even learn, like Jeannie said, to know about the program before you really need the program. So it's really a day where everyone can post their assistive technology, even down to just their pair of glasses, explain how it benefits them in their everyday life. And really it's also an attempt to celebrate how assistive technology, is a real tool for inclusion. So we do not have a date yet for 2026. We are working on that. So stay tuned.
We can't wait to find out, but we'll definitely let everyone on the show know as soon as we know, just so they can prepare for the greatest day of the year.
Yes, terrific. Thank you.
Another really great thing that ATAP does and kind of provides to all of us ATX is the return on investment that we can share with folks, kind of the information that comes along with it. So tell us about the return on investment or ROI information relating to the ATX.
Well, yeah, I agree. I think that is one of the best things that we do, next, of course, to the AT Awareness Day. And but we have such great facts and figures because of all the amazing work that the ATAC programs do. And that's where all these numbers come from. So as Audrey said, in 2024, $31 million was invested into the ATAC programs, and they leveraged, I'm just reading the back of our ROA document that can be found on our website, by the way, but we leveraged over $49.4 million last year, served 487,000 people, and gave them over $91 million in savings and benefits. That is a return on investment of 196%, or $2.97 is saved for every dollar spent. And it gets even better. For 10 years, a 10-year period we did this year, The ATX received over $305 million and had a yielding a total of $674 million in savings and benefits. And it's pretty incredible, I think.
It is. It is. And I love that you came out with the 10-year numbers because it really just, I don't know, kind of drives it home. And just all the amazing thing that the ATX can do and can really be able to put together and everything else. So we appreciate it. We also, you know, and I appreciate being able to be a part of it and everything else. I guess you talked about this a little bit, but how did you both come to be involved with ATAP?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, when I was a speech pathologist in the 90s, like I talked about, and about 3 or 4 years in to my tenure as an SLP, the ATAC program started in North Dakota. And I saw I was already into AT already. Actually, my first day, I realized I needed it. But there was this program that they were letting us use their devices. And that just made my practice, oh my gosh, I was a much better speech pathologist with access to all this equipment to help my clients. And I just started building relationship with a ATAC program in the state, and pretty soon I was working for them. So, yeah.
Every once in a while, when we get a really good person in the door, we do our best to lock them in and not let them leave, too. So I get that. I get that.
Well, they did it for 25 years. In North Dakota.
Audrey, what about you? With your kind of background and everything, how'd you end up with ATAP?
I know. So I was working at a law firm, a lobbying shop in Washington, D.C., and ATAP was actually a client. And so we did a lot of education work, and ATAP was one of the few disability clients, actually, that the firm had. But that is how my work and with the programs began back in 2008, and it just continued to grow from there. And I'm still here as well in 2024. So I'm a little like Jeannie, but I was glad that we were able to wrangle her away from the North Dakota program to come work with us at ATAP. I was thrilled about that. And yes. And so it's been, I have to say, it's just been a real honor over these past many years, it feels like, to be able to advocate and educate those in Washington and beyond, really, about the tremendous work that these programs do. Because the one thing we can say is the impact it makes in these people's lives is really something. And I have used it with my own mother, who has Parkinson's, ALS, and have seen it in action, and it is transformational. So sure does warrant federal dollars, in my opinion. So it's been great to be a part of it.
I think you may have already answered my next question, but I just wanted to find out, what's your favorite part about being a part of ATAP?
Oh, wow. You know, working at the direct level for so long, and, you know, we made changes statewide and a little bit nationally too. But I think the opportunity that ATAP provides, the voice that we have, and we're only going to make it louder. I think that opportunity makes me so excited of what can change and what can happen. And back to our vision of everybody being able to have assistive technology when they need it. I think that gets me up in the morning. Nice. And it's very exciting for me.
Nice. Audrey, what about you?
I think I would just add to what Jeannie said, really, which is that this is a position in which we can work to expand the capacity of these programs. There's so much more potential and more growth, yes, that can be expanded throughout the country. And we really need, the only issue is the pipeline of funding. And so we're really trying to unlock that. And I think that innovation is one of our program's real gems that they bring to the table. And if they could just get some more money to unleash those innovative abilities, it would be just something to be able to watch. And being a part of that is just really exciting.
Nice. And I'm looking forward to seeing it all unfold with you. So at least from this kind of level. So we definitely thank you for everything that you do for us, you know, on the national stage and everything, as we try to implement everything in our different states and territories. How can our listeners find out more about ATAP, the ATX, and that return on investment information we talked about?
Yes, our website is ATAPORG.org, ATAPORG.org. and the return on investment is right on that homepage. And if you would like to figure out where your state Assistive Technology Act program is, there's a link on our ATAP website and then also our training and technical assistance website. It's AT3Center.net/, I believe it's state programs, but you can, once you get to the AT3Center.net, you'll see the link to get to your state program.
Awesome. We will put links for both of those down in the show notes so folks can easily learn more about ATAP, about all the great things that you do, and find their local state program to get their local services and everything that's offered with that. Well, Audrey Jeanne, thank you so much for coming on today for talking about ATAP. I feel like I even learned things. We were talking beforehand that I think I've been director for like 2 years and I'm still learning stuff. But I will say this is the kind of job where if you don't like continuously learning things, you're not going to like it because, you work with technology and with people, so you're always learning new things and always have to be open to those kind of experiences. So, but we really, at least, from here at NData, I'm pretty sure most of the ATX, we definitely thank you for what you do for us on the national side, and thank you for coming on the show and telling us all about it.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Do you have a question about assistive technology? Do you have a suggestion for someone we should interview on Assistive Technology Update? If so, call our listener line at 317-721-7124, send us an email at tech@easterseals.org, or shoot us a note on Twitter @InDataProject. Our captions and transcripts for the show are sponsored by the Indiana Telephone Relay Access Corporation, or NTRAC. You can find out more about NTRAC at RelayIndiana.com. A special thanks to Nicole Prieto for scheduling our amazing guests and making a mess of my schedule. Today's show was produced, edited, hosted, and fraught over by yours truly. The opinions expressed by our guests are their own and may or may not reflect those of the NData Project, Easterseals Crossroads, our supporting partners, or this host. This was your Assistive Technology Update. I'm Josh Anderson with the NData Project at Easterseals Crossroads in beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana. We look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.